Okay, so welcome to the first Chabura of the summer. I'm very excited as we have our biggest post-12th grade group in our illustrious history, so very excited here. So again, during the night Seder in a Chaburas or Shiurim, we're going to be learning the first parak. So as we noted before, the first parak really deals with Inyani Chametz. And in really everything stems from a proper understanding of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, which are going to be two lavim, Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, literally do not see it and do not find it, which are basically the lavim which say that not only is it usur to eat chametz, but you also can't have chametz be present in your rishus. I'm going to leave that super vague because that could be the topic of this year. But again, a proper understanding of these lavim of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh are going to go a long way to be able to properly understand all the other inyanim in the parak, which we're going to be doing, each one has their own sugya. What bittul's about, what bitika's about, what the mitzvah asay of tashbisu is about, other inyanim related to Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. So I figured that it'd be a proper hakdama, again, a proper introduction to the parak and all the shiurim that we're doing, to start off by having a good understanding of what exactly is the nature of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. How is one over Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh? So before we get into any Gemaras, I'd like to just map out. We're going to see that there'd be two general approaches to the nature of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. The first general approach to Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh is that it's objective, which means that as long as chametz is objectively in a person's rishus, that will trigger the violation of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, even if the person doesn't have any relationship or interaction with the chametz itself. So again, approach number one is that Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh is very much objective. If in mitzias there is chametz in your rishus, you're going to be over. Whether or not, whether you know about it, whether you see it, whether you want it, doesn't matter. First approach, objectively, if there's a mitzias of chametz in your rishus, you're going to violate. That's the first general approach. We call it the objective approach to Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. The second general approach to Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, and again we'll fill this in with all Rishonim in just a moment, is that really Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh is all subjective. Subjective meaning it's all about the person's relationship to the chametz. And therefore, according to this second approach, the only time a person is going to violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh is if that person has a specific relationship to the chametz. And within this second approach, we're going to see different sub-approaches in terms of what type of relationship there has to be. Whether that relationship is in terms of ri'iya, the person seeing the chametz, whether it's in terms of, we'll call that 2A, whether it's in terms of yidiya, called 2B, right? The person has to be aware the chametz is in his rishus, or that the third version is that he wants it, rotze bekiyumo. Okay, these are three different versions of the type of relationship that a person has to have with the chametz in order to violate, according to the second approach. So again, the first approach is that Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh is all objective. In mitzias, if there's chametz in your rishus, you violate. First approach. The second approach, generally, is that no, it's really subjective. It's all about the person's particular, specific relationship to the chametz. And then within that second approach, we're going to see different versions of it. Right, 2A is going to be that the relationship is in terms of ri'iyah, seeing the chametz. 2B is going to be that the relationship is in terms of yediyah, being aware of the chametz in his rishus. And 2C is going to be a different version. It's about, not about seeing or knowing, but again, it's about having a particular relationship of wanting it to be there. So again, that's the general outline of of this sugya. And we're going to spend the time hashing out these different approaches in the Rishonim and the Mefarshim themselves. Again, before we see any Mefarshim itself, the most important Gemara to see is the Gemara of Vav Amud Beis. This is the sugya of Habodek Sarach Shivatos. So everyone can turn to Daf Vav Amud Beis. We're going to read this inside together, hopefully quickly. But again, each line in the Shach Vatara is crucial for so many different things. So we're going to be coming back to this Gemara many times. So again, keep on chazring this Gemara whenever we come across it. Again, the Gemara of Vav Amud Beis, it's a super crucial Gemara. So let's take a stab at it. Again, this is after the two dots. First words in the line, unreviewed on Rav. So again, sender, as the veteran of this year, would you mind taking it away? Okay, so what's the takana of Rav?
So that even though you did bitika, even though you did beer chametz, you still need to do bittul.
Oh, okay, good.
So it says in my time.
Right. So my time. What's the Gemara asking?
The Gemara is saying, why would you have to do bittul if you already got rid of all your chametz?
Exactly. The bedika. If you did a fine bedika, that means you found all your chametz and you burnt it. So what's the need for bittul?
So the Gemara, yinema mishum perurin halo chashivi. Those aren't considered to be chashiv, and you wouldn't be over value.
So just spell it out because it's gonna be important for the rush. We'll do in a second. What's the hametz? Yinema mishum perurin.
If you're going to say that you need to do bittul,
where to peirurin, just
crumbs.
Exactly. And I mean, again, you find all the big pieces, but maybe you didn't find the crumbs of chametz. And maybe you need to do bittul to neutralize ba'ar by matzei for those crumbs. The Gemara says, no. Halachashivi.
Maybe you wouldn't need to do bittul for
that. Is that right? They're bittul memela, we'll say. Okay. We'll get back to that. That basically, they're, even without a bittul, they're just like objectively they're not chashiv, and therefore you don't even need to do bittul on them. So the Gemara asks,
okay, so if you came with an intel, I got basic chashiv, and if you're going to tell me that since when he locks up his house, that's considered to be making it chashiv.
Exactly, right, since you're watching it aga of the other things,
right.
And maybe you would think that when you're closing your house, you're guarding your house for X, and Y happens to be there, the fact that you're guarding it also is machshiv the Y, everything involved. Exactly.
Or for other types of vegetables.
All right, so anytime that you're guarding it for the good ones, and there happen to be bad ones also. So you can explain for everyone, right?
If the Baal Bais is machbed on it,
on the bad ones.
The bad ones too, then you're obviously not allowed to steal it, and you'd be mechayiv and
nicer. Then it's not hefker.
Because it's not hefker. But if he's not machbed on it, so then there's not going to be an issue of gazel says in Lara.
Right. So even though you're guarding your house for the chashiv things in there, right, this Bryce establishes that, no, just because you're... Exactly, it's only... Right, something only attains chashivas when you care about it. And therefore, back to the Peirurin, the Gemara proves. Therefore, since you don't care about the Peirurin itself, just because you're guarding your house for the other things, end of the day, you don't care about the Peirurin, so therefore, Peirurin are going to be batel memela. Excellent. Oh, so now comes... Okay, so now back to square one. Why do you need bittel? You found everything. Obviously, and Peirurin are off, right, or off the table.
Why is that true? It's wrong to say that... Meaning, well, why is that true? That because you're guarding your house, that means something. But the Meister understand that, like, maybe there's something that you care about over here, there's something you actually, like, don't want. As opposed to something you may not care about, which may have some sort of value.
Okay, good question. I don't want to, that's a little aga, so I don't want to, pun intended, so I don't want to get too involved in that, but good question. I'm just going to hold off for now, because that's, okay, good, yeah. So big answer, Sander.
You're going to find a big,
exactly.
Right,
okay,
and you're gonna want to keep it around, so really you have to do better.
Okay, very important. Right, and you translate exactly correct. Very, pay careful attention to the Lashon of the Gemara. Gzera Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafa Vedaita Ilave. And if I've talked to a number of you guys in Seder, you might be know where I'm going with this emphasis. What's the Gemara's Lashon? Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafa. Lest you what?
Find
it. Implication being, if you don't find it,
no, okay.
Not a problem. Okay, very important. Right? If you can already tell from the Shachar Vartaya how it's relevant to our general question, right? Two approaches we mentioned is it objectively in your rishus, whether or not you know about it, or is it only if you know about it, if you see it? Already the Gemara seems to be making an assumption, says it only matters, you only violate if you find it, if you know about it, if you see it. That's what it sounds like.
I find the next line even more indicative of that.
Okay, good. Excellent. In line with that, exactly, Yehuda Dov, is the next line, yeah?
So then once you find it, so why not just, we'll be mevatel then? Why do you have to be mevatel before?
Exactly. Why do we require bittul the night before based on the chance that you might find it? If that chance takes place, if it happens that you find it, you'll do bittul then. So again, exactly what Yehuda Dov just said, even clearer than the line before, that the only time you need to do a bittul for is when you find it. Sounds like the time before you found it, we don't care about. Very important. One more question. Yeah. Sorry. Exactly. Okay, good. Yeah, so the answer is...
The reason why you have to do bittul the night before is because if you talk to find it, achas man iser, it's not in your shos, and you're not able to do bittul because it's not no longer in your shos.
Excellent. Yeah, this is a very important memory we'll get back to later in the summer.
Oh, okay.
So what does that mean? It's a loaded statement?
Two things that it's not in your rishos, ba'atzem, it's not, we take, the Torah takes out of your, it's out of your rishos, but the Torah puts it back in your rishos to be mechayev you.
Exactly.
The person who digs a bor rishos ra'avim.
Right, why is that not in your rishos?
It's not his.
Exactly.
So he's going to be chayev for all hazik.
Right, so therefore you would think the bor and the rishos ra'avim, which you don't own, therefore maybe you wouldn't be chayev for the nezek that it causes. K'mash v'lan, no, the Torah is mechayev you, even though it's in a rishoscha. And then the one that's more relevant to us. And Chameis, why would it be out of your rishos? A little harder. Why? I mean, you own the Chameis. You bought the entomans a week before Chameis. Exactly, right. Very, very important idea. The Pashas of the Gemara is that that there is no bailus on Isuri Hana, which again is a huge machlokas Rishonim. We'll get back to that later. But the Pashas is that because Chameis is Asur Bahana, and since, according to many, you can't own something which you can't benefit from, so therefore it's objectively not in your Rishus, but the Torah is Mechayiv you, nevertheless, in Bayer Bay Matzeh. Okay, that's a very important Shachar Torah to get down, and we're going to be referencing this as we go along. Any questions before we go on to the Rishonim? Okay. Excellent. Okay, so starting with this in mind, so now let's go into the Rishonim. We're going to be commenting on this Gemara and let's tie into the two approaches that we developed. So we're going to first start with the Rishonim and the Mefarshim who adopt the first approach, the objective approach, right? Who say that you're over by your Bayamatze as long as Chametz is objectively in your Rishus, whether or not you know about it, whether or not you see it, whether or not you care about it, as long as it's objectively in your Rishus, you're going to be over. So in the Gemara itself, the Rishon, in the Gemara itself, who seems to take this approach is who? Who's in the Gemara itself?
The Rush.
The Rush, exactly. So everyone can turn to the Rush. Again, this is Perek Aleph, Simon Tes in the Rush. The Rush is a very, very important couple of lines here, where he seems to say unequivocally, very clearly, that you're over by Rabbi Matzah as long as it's objectively in your Rishos. We're going to read that inside. And just an important note, I mentioned this to a couple of guys in Seder. What's fascinating about the Sugya, a number of things which are fascinating, but one particular thing which is fascinating about the Sugya is that you have a number of times in the Sugya where Rishonim seem to say something very clearly, and Achronim go out of their way to reinterpret those Rishonim to hold like them. Which means that these Achronim have such strong convictions about the topic, about whether it's objective or subjective, or whether it's Yediyah or Re'iyah or Yerotze B'Kimo, that they are so strongly convinced of their position that they're willing to reread and lav davka Rishonim to be like them. Because they're basically saying, the Rishon can't mean what he says, because it doesn't make sense. So we're going to keep that in mind, and therefore whenever we read a Rishon, and particularly in the Sugya, really always, pay careful attention to what the Rishon itself says, and then pay careful attention to how other achronim are interpreting it. Again, it's an important exercise in general for learning, but particularly in the sugya, a lot of times there are very strong discrepancies between the rishon themselves and how other achronim are interpreting them. So again, let's pay careful attention to the rush. And I'll say this because it seems like the rush is as clear as day, that he's taking the objective approach, but we're going to see a number of achronim, we'll see probably in next year, who say no, who interpret the Rush otherwise. Again, let's pay careful attention. So again, this is the Rush, Perek Aleph, Simon Tes. So a couple lines down in the Rush, I have a different source of doubt, but starting with Maitaima. Anyone have it? Maitaima Tsarach Bittel? Anyone have it? It's a couple lines down in the, again, anyone has the source of doubt? How many lines down in the Oz Bahadur?
First line.
Yeah, first line, the second line? Okay, great. So Yehuda, can you take it away? Maitaima?
My time and talk with.
So again, remember this. Obviously, this rush is going on the Gemara we just read. So again, let's pay careful attention to how he explains the Shachar B'Tayr.
So my time and talk with Bittel, Balo Badak Upina Kol Chametz Nimsa, saying why do you need Bittel? Because you already did Bedika and removed all the Chametz that you found.
Is that right? So this is the question: the Gemara. What's the point of Bittel after you already did Bedika? The Bedika we assume through Chazakos capture all the Chametz that's there. So why would you need to deal with Bittel? What else is necessary? So now we're going to see the Rush is going to analyze very carefully the Havamina of Perurin. And within this Havamina, justifying the Gemara's Havamina, the Rush is going to be very clear about his own Shita, about the parameters of Bayer Leimatze. Go for it.
he named Mishum Pirurin Dakim Dakim Shalo Matsubu.
No, I think it's Dakim.
Oh.
He named Mishum Pirurin, right? If you're gonna say because of the
Dakim Shalo Matsubu Dika, meaning that you're gonna say it's because of
right there, we're sure we're left.
He didn't find him Dika, the Nisharu, and they're left over a love Balira, and it'll be over on a Balira.
Right, stop there, right? So this is very clearly the Gemara's Halamina, right? The Gemara member suggests, right before it rejects it, it says maybe the reason why you do Bittel is for the Pirurin. But the Rush here is bothered by the Havamina. And it's basically going to be bothered by, like, wait a second, what's the Havamina of the Gemara that you'd be over Balira by Yamatze for Pirurin? You don't see it, you don't know about it, so why would you be over Balira by Yamatze? So the Rush, therefore, is going to say, yeah, the reason why there's a Havmina is because Ba'ira Ba'yamatze is violated even if you don't see it and even if you don't know about it. So again, this is all coming from the Rush's, you know, justification of the Havmina itself.
He also means Ba'yamatze?
Yeah, presumably he means both, yeah. Okay. As I said to someone in Seder, we're going to get to this, to Rishonim Hor Machali between Ba'ira Ba'yamatze. That's actually, you know, section Hey. And then on the second page, as you'll see. But assume the general assumption is that when a Rishon says Bal Yira or Beis Yud, he means both, unless otherwise noted. That's important. We'll get back to that. That's going to be the end of the Sugya. But otherwise, assume both. Yuda?
The Aval Rishon Aroi, even though he doesn't see it.
Right. Clear as day. Right? Even though you don't see it, so but why? What's his Raya that you'd be over Bal Yira Matzah even if you don't see it? He just makes a Diuk in the Pasuk.
It doesn't say lo sira,
which means don't see it. Doesn't say don't see it. If it said don't see it, then it'd be very clear that you're only violate when you see it. But what's the law shown? Ella lo yira e. How would you translate that? It cannot be seen. Right, our local Israeli. Right, it cannot be seen. So what's the diuk? Mashma.
Mashma lo ye lecha chametz mekom aroi l'ra'iyah. You can't have chametz in a place that I guess that you're able to see there.
Exactly.
That's anywhere.
What? Not so clear. We'll get back to that. Sounds like it's, you know, it sounds like b'makom aroi l'ra'iyah. It sounds like places which
where you may find it,
which you would like ordinarily find it, where it's clearly visible, like underneath the rug in the back of the fridge. That's a makom she'ino.
Like ceiling.
Shmei Korah, that's a Gemara, you don't obey. Yeah. We'll get there. Good.
Can you translate Losira and Loyera again?
Losira is do not see. Loyera is it cannot be seen. Or if someone says don't see something, that means the only problem is seeing it. Loyera, it cannot be seen, is a little more ambiguous, and the Rush interprets that. It means it can't be in your Rishus such that there's potential for it to be seen. So therefore, as long as it's in your Rishus, even though you don't see it, since it could be seen, you're going to violate. Continue.
Even though you don't know if they're in you're in your house.
So not only does the Rush say, even if you don't see it, right? He says also, even if you don't know about it. So he says clearly both. You violate Ba'ira Ba'yamatze, even if you don't see it, even if you don't know about it. Mikomakom
Ba'ira Eka. So nevertheless, even though you don't know about it,
and you don't see it,
there's still Ba'ira.
And therefore, that's the Havmin of Perurim. The Lukach,
sorry, she bought the Shov ain't con Isser Ba'ira. Therefore, you need Mavatalit. And then after you Mavatalit, there's no more Isser Ba'ira.
And then we'll stop there. And then the Gemara goes on to say, no, you don't need Perurim because Lo Chashivi, they're Batal Mamil. Fine. But again, in the Rush's explanation of the Havamina, it becomes very clear, that the Rush adopts, again, this first approach, the objective approach, that as long as the Chametz is objectively in your Rishus, whether or not you see it, whether or not you know about it, you're going to violate. So the Rush seems to be the first prominent Rishon in this first approach. And again, along the lines of what we've been saying, I had you guys see the Karban Asano. I'm not going to read it right now. But the Karban Asano also interprets the Rush like this. Right? He rejects, we'll see this later, he rejects the Bach, right, who seems to lav dafka the Rush, right? The Bach is an example of what was describing before. The Bach, right, reinterprets the Rush as saying that you need Yediyah. So the Karban Asano says, what are you talking about? That's such a dachuk read of the Rush. It seems very clear in the Rush that even if you don't see it, even if you don't know about it. So again, the Rush, as you know, corroborated by the Karban Asano's understanding, seems to clearly adopt this first approach that, again, as long as it's objectively in your Rishus, even absent any subjective relationship to the chametz, you're going to violate. Is that a hand? Okay, great. Awesome. So this is one Mar Malkum within the Rush. A second Mar Malkum within the Rush. Anyone find the Tosas Rush in the Beis Medrash? Didn't seem like it. Hopefully we'll get one up within the next couple days. But there's a Tosa Rush, which hopefully we'll see later on. There's a Tosa Rush on Vavim Beis, in our Sugya on Vavim Beis, who basically says, right, in the context of what Yudov was referring to before, remember when the Gemara asks, right, when the Gemara seems to only be bothered about Yimsa Gluska Yafe and Vachim Mishkacha Slightly Batle, it only seems to be worried about Bayer Bayimatse post-finding it. So someone like the Rush is going to have to explain, what about Lemafreya? If the Rush L'Shitaso thinks that Rabbi Matzah is violated even if you don't know about it, even if you don't see it, so why do we only care about Mikana Labah after finding it? Kol's man that it was in your Rishus is a problem. So in that context, the Tosas Rush, again the same Rush, says L'Shitaso that we don't care about the issue of Lemafreya, because that's just Bali Rabbi Matzah Bishogeg. He calls it Shigagas Bali Rabbi Matzah, which we'll get back to later, but it's very clear that seems to be another raya that the Rush holds that you do violate Bali Rabbi Matzah Lamafreya, even if you don't know about it. Because if you say that you violate Bishogeg, that means you violate, you just do it Bishogeg. Right? You can murder someone Bimezid, or you can murder someone Bishogeg. Right? Murder Bishogeg is still Ritzicha. So if a Rishon says, like the Rush, that yeah, Limafreya, before you knew about it, before you see it, you're over by Rabbi Matze, Bishogeg, so that's very much the Rush L'Shitaso, the holding that you violate by Rabbi Matze, even if you don't know about it, even if you don't see it. It's just Bishogeg. So again, it's very important that the Tosas HaRush, the Rush himself and Tosas HaRush, clearly adopts this approach, that you do violate Limafreya. It's going to be important because Achronim are going to interpret the Rush otherwise. Important that a lot of these Achronim did not have the Tosa Rush. Tosa Rush was printed more recently. It's a recent manuscript, so they most likely did not have this Tosa Rush. But this Tosa Rush is a key to understanding that the Shita of the Rush is that you do violate Lamafreya. He holds it objectively. Chametz is in your Rishus, you violate. Okay, it might be Bishogeg because you didn't know about it. You couldn't control it. But at the end of the day, there is Bali Rabbi Matzah. Yes,
go. Why does he hold that this Avera is different than others, that Shogeg really isn't the problem?
Okay, good. We'll get back to that in our second... Our second sugya is going to be about Bidika, or are we going to deal with that? Good question. Yuda?
I have the same question.
Okay, good. We'll get back to that. Any other questions? Okay.
Is there a general assumption that if it goes to Rosh, if we find the other Rishonim, like Rishonim we found lately, that they say against what that firm explained, that firm are wrong in their...
Meaning, I don't like to say they're wrong, but meaning they didn't have access to it, so... Again, psak is a different issue. There's a whole question in psak, whether you can paskin based on Rishonim, which were published more recently. Can ask Rabbi Willig about that. It's a whole topic in of itself. So in the realm of psak is a big question about Minog Yisrael. It was relying on a certain girsa. And there's some Ramban, which is the Ramban, the different girsa of the Ramban was found later, and the big question of Lecha L'maisa, whether you can paskin. It's a big question, L'maisa, in terms of psak, but in terms of, Ian, if you're trying to figure out what does the Rush hold, it seems, the Tosa Rush would be a good, if you have access to it, it would seem to be a good way of understanding that. Great. Okay, so that's the Rush. Again, so the Rush, both in the psakian that we just read, and the Tosa Rush and Volman Beis, both seem to clearly adopt this first approach, that the objective approach to Bali Rabbi Matzah, that you're over as long as it's objectively in your Rishus. So the second Rishon within this first approach is going to be the She'iltos. So again, everyone has it, the photocopy on your phone or whatever. It's very important, again, when any Rishon is paraphrasing the Gemara, to pay careful attention to whether they change a word in the Gemara or not. Because sometimes, when they change a word in the Gemara, they're telling you, in a big way, how they really understand the Gemara. So again, if anyone has the She'iltos, see two lines up in the She'iltos, starting with Maitaima. Nir, do you have it?
Yeah.
Do you mind reading it? Maitaima. So again, Maitaima, this is in the context of a Bodek Tzarek Shivatel. So again, if you can get it on your phone, it's good. Otherwise, you can just listen to Nir.
Remember my
time?
My
time, yeah.
What was the reason of the after being battle, even though we already
did Bidika? Stop there.
So maybe you'll find so we said that
Dilma, what's the word? Ika.
That there is a good piece of bread that you know about and that you want it.
Okay, stop there. So what's the word that the Gemara you could tell? What's the Gemara's word? Dilma.
Gemara is
matzah. Exactly. Dilma yimsa. Which we made the whole deal, because that Dilma Yimsa sounds like only if you find it. As you know, the follow-up line also, only a problem if you find it. But very important, the She'ultos has a slightly different girsa, or a different pirush, hard to know sometimes. Not Dilma Yimsa Gluska Yafa, but Dilma what again, Nir? What's the word?
Ika.
Ika. What does Ika mean?
There is.
Where's the implication?
Subjective.
Right, that what?
Subjective.
Objective, right? As long as Ika, as long as the Chametz is there, that's going to be the problem. So very important that the She'ulto, seemingly in line with the Rush, seems to hold that as long as Chametz is in your Rishus, it's a problem. You're going to violate Bayor Bayimatzeh, and therefore you would need to do Bittel just in case there is any Chametz in your Rishus. Whether you find it or not, as long as Dilma Ika Berishuso, that's going to be a problem.
So the Rush holds only to find it, you'll see the Ika.
The Rush seemingly says even if you don't find it.
Only that the Shogi though he said, you're
not going to be high. No, meaning you're going to violate Lema Freya. Lema Freya is going to be Shogeg, but you're still over Lema Freya. And the Tulsa Rush is clear that there is Shigigas Bali Rabbi Matze even before you find it.
Are there ramifications of that?
What?
Were there ramifications of that?
Of what? Sorry, yeah. I was going to make sure. Mordechai. So one more time. Ask the question again.
The rush says only if you find it. Before that's only going to be shogeg.
Okay, good. Yeah. So you're right. In terms of what we care about, you're right. In terms of the gzera, the rush seems to say that we only care about the yimsa, right? And we don't care about the lema freya, 100%. While the shiltos as girsa sounds like it, we care about as long as it's there, 100%. And that's a question about whether you care about bayor bayimatzeh bishogeg. That's its own machlokas, which we'll assess earlier on. That was the question that Yudov and Yehuda were bothered by. Right? Why would you be bothered by a shogeg, or why not? But for the purposes of our sugi about whether Bayor Bayimatzeh is violated Lema Freya, on that point they both agree. Right? So you're 100% right. There's a slight nuanced difference between the Rush and the She'ultos in terms of whether we care about the Lema Freya, Bishogeg. But they both agree that in terms of fundamentally that Bayor Bayimatzeh is going to be violated it's going to be violated Lema Freya. Okay, excellent. Good point, though. Sorry, there's another hand. Yeah.
Why is this considered?
Freya, right? Okay.
Why is this considered Lema Freya? Is this Rush?
When I say Lema Freya, I mean Lema Freya to finding it. Meaning, let's say you find it, you know.
Is it mechanically Lema Freya, or just from our perspective?
From the perspective of finding it.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
When the Shulbu changes the Girsa of the Gemara, is that because he had a different Girsa, or is that just because he was putting his opinion into
it? Great question. It's a lot of times it's hard to know. Especially, the She'ultos is the time of the Gonin, so it could very well be that he had other Girsos. It's hard to know. The way to do it, this is not my, you can look into different Girsos. The best way to answer that question is to look into, Duke Sofrim to see the different Girsos. The Gemara, is he coming off a different? I didn't. Because it doesn't really matter so much in the end of the day, because this is a Shita. So it's based on a Girsa, it doesn't matter so much. But at the end of the day, it's hard to know. And if you were to look into it, there's a way to look into it by looking at different yourselves, but it's hard to know. I feel like there was a question here. Okay, great. Yeah, it's hard to know. But at the end of the day, the Shita is, whether it's based on a Girsa or whether it's his parish, either way, it's very clear that he's taking this approach. Oh. So an example of what I was saying before, of Achronim sometimes, reinterpreting, the Rishonim, or in this case, a Gaon. So here you have the Ha'amek She'ela. So Ha'amek She'ela is the Netziv's parish on the Shiltos. So on the spot here, Dalet, I think it is, right? In Oz Dalet, right in the middle of the piece, I think it's on the second page that I have in the photocopy, basically the Netziv says, if you look carefully at the Lashon of the She'ultos and you compare it to the Gemara, exactly like we were saying, it sounds like the She'ultos thinks that you violate even if you don't see it and even if you don't know about it. But does the She'ultos accept that, Benjamin? Correct. What is the Shiltos good? What does the Shiltos say? How does the Shiltos understand the Shiltos? How does the Netziv understand the Shiltos, anybody? he reinterprets the shiltos. Okay, anybody get to it? Yeah.
But only if you know about the chumash.
Exactly. And what's his big word? Nisgar, exactly. So it's very important. Like we were saying before, this is a perfect example. The Netziv, after saying that the pashas of the Shiltos, is that the Shiltos seems to accept this objective approach, says it doesn't really make sense. Really, it must be that what the Shiltos really means, says the Netziv, is that Ikka means Nisgar. As long as you know about it, then you're going to violate the Chiddush being, even if you don't see it.
How can you do that?
Well, you can know about it without seeing it.
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, how can you reinterpret it?
Can't interpret it.
Oh, okay. So we're going to get to that. This is coming from the Netziv's really strong conviction that it doesn't make sense to violate.
I would argue the Shiltos if it was
up. What?
He's basically saying I would argue the Shiltos if it was up.
He doesn't say that. He's not willing to argue, right? He just to see it inside. He says, Aval Rabbeinu Garis, interesting, he says it in terms of Girsa. He says, Aval Rabbeinu Garis Dilma Ikka. Right, which is mashma afilu adayin ino roe, har is it over? Implication is that even if you don't see it, the imkain kasha lahavin kushis a gemara. So that what he's really bothered by is the gemara. Or the gemara we were saying before, because the gemara says, you know, v'chim yishkachas le nibat le. Sounds like the gemara says you only have to do bittul when you find it. He says, how does that align with the shiltos? He says, as long as it's there. So he says it must be. He says aval be'emes, but in truth, gam legirsas rabbeinu ino over. Kolzman shlo nisgar alav. It says, must be that the shiltos also means that you only violate when you know about it.
Same as the Bach.
Exactly. Good. So, for the purposes of what we're doing now, just to point out, is that the pashtus of the shiltos is like the Rush, that you violate the mafraya, right? That the bayar bay matzeh is objective, and therefore, as long as it's in your rishus, you're going to violate. And the ha'omek she'ilot, and it sort of points out that that's the pashtus in the Shiltos' Girsa, in his reading, but happens to be that the Netziv, which we'll get back to later, reinterprets and says, no, lo yitachin, it must be that the Shiltos must hold that you don't violate until you deal. So again, just to keep everything organized, so far we've had, right, the Rush, who accepts his first approach to its objective, and the Pashtus of the Shiltos. Yeah?
Mishkachas doesn't sound like idea, Zahira, either.
Well, if you don't know about something, the only way, let's say you don't know the chametz is in your shoes. What's the only way for you to find out about it? If you find it.
Yeah, but like, he just said zechira, right?
Yeah, he says that you violate with yedia even if you don't see it.
So that's not mishkachas.
He's going to say mishkachas is just an example of yedia.
Mishkachas.
Yeah, you're right. In that case, you both know about it and see it. But at the end of the day, for the Netziv, we'll get back to this approach later, they think the Koveya is not the Re'iya, but rather the Yediyah. So again, so far we have the Rush, both in Psakim and the Tosa Rush, and then we have the Pashas of the Shiltos, again, all saying that it's objective. And now the third, was quite a Rishon, but early Mefarish who accepts this approach is the Tur. Might be getting ahead of where you guys got up to.
What about in the Shiltos, didn't they it also offer the answer that... that it's hidden well enough that it's not considered in the parsha of like being able to be seen.
Okay, that's his shot in the Rush. We'll get back
but
to that.
But that doesn't really make much sense in light of like the Rush talking about Perurin, and it's the same case.
Okay, we'll get back to the Rush. We'll get back. We're gonna go through all the Mefarshim who reinterpret the Rush, and we'll analyze how they work into the Rush itself. So the third Mefarish who accepts this first approach, that again, it's objective as long as in your Rishus, is the tour. Anybody have a chance to see the tour? Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, I know I'm getting a little past where many of you have gotten, just as I said, because of the bris. You'll have the entire tomorrow night to catch up and to go weiter, and I think Sunday morning also to just focus on these Makoros. So again, we'll from here on out, I'm going to assume that people did not see a lot of Makoros, so I'll try to explain as clearly as possible, and then you'll go over it. In Seder tomorrow night and Sunday morning, and you'll see hopefully what I'm talking about. Or argue, and then we'll discuss. But the tour is also right, on this topic of a bodek sarach shivato, right? Of the requirement to do bedika, of the requirement to do bittel after the bedika, and he gives a very important explanation of why. Anybody have anyone you want to paraphrase that?
I forget.
Okay, so I'll read it inside. The Torah has the following very important lashon. I mean, remember, the Torah is justifying, again, Habodek Tzarech Shivata. Why do you need Bittel after Bedika? And he says, very similar to the Shiltos, Dahashta, that now that you've done Bittel, Afilu im nishar bibayis chametz, even if there is chametz left in your house, Shalom Matzah, that you did not find, Eino Overlof. Now that you did Bittel, it will prevent you from violating. So very clear from the Torah. The Torah says, the reason why you do Bittel is so that you basically circumvent the violation of Baal Yerabai Matzah on chametz, which you did not find. Sounds very clearly, right? That had you not done Bittel, right, would you have violated Baal Yerabai Matzah for chametz you didn't find?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? The reason why you do Bittel is just in case, like the Shiltos, just in case there is Ika chametz Birushusa. So the Torah's Lashon seems very clear that as long as there is chametz in your Rishos, you're going to violate, and therefore it says the Torah, like the Shiltos, the reason, therefore, why you need to do Bittel, even after having done Bedika, because let's say your Bedika didn't find something, didn't catch everything, and let's say there's a piece of chametz stuck in your Rishos, even, says the Shiltos and the Torah, even if you don't find it, you're still going to violate, and therefore, that's why you need Bittel. So again, the Torah, the Pashas of the Torah, we'll see. Again, other Mefarshim are going to reinterpret the Torah. But the Pashas of the Torah seems very clear. Remember, the Lashon is, Afilu im nishar bebayis chametz shalom matzah. Even if there's chametz in your house that you didn't find, that's the problem that you need Bittel for. So again, that's the Torah. And the Magen Avraham, if you guys didn't get a chance, right, the Magen Avraham, again, on Mar Mekomer sheets, which is tough, Lama Dalid, Sifkatan Hey. Again, the Magen Avraham quotes the Torah and says, yeah, the pshat in the Torah seems to be that you're going to violate Baal Yerabai Matzah, even if you don't find it, and even if you don't see it. So here you have, Adkan is the first approach, right? The first approach, again, that Baal Yerabai Matzah is violated anytime there's chametz birushuso, as long as there's objective mitzias of chametz in your rishus, you're going to violate. So we have the Rush, Pashas of the Rush, Pashas of the Shiltos, and now Pashas of the Torah, all accepting this approach, that by Rabbi Matzah is all about b'metzias, about objectively their chametz being in your shoes, even if you don't have any relationship with the chametz at all. Ad Kan, the first approach.
That's yeah. Never said you don't know about it. He just said you didn't find it.
So what do you think he's saying? That you know about it and you didn't... Say, if you know about chametz...
I don't know, you're contradicting yourself. I don't know what he thinks, but I don't know if you could rely on the Rush.
Okay. Let's talk about the Magen Avraham. So the Magen Avraham, I hear what you're saying, and again, Sermon Mefarsh, I'm going to reinterpret the Torah, maybe that's where they're coming from. But the Magen Avraham interprets the Torah like I just said, and he says the simple interpretation of the Torah is that in Nishar Bebayas Chametz Shalom Matzah, you didn't find it because you didn't know about it. That's the simple interpretation. You're right, not Mukhruch Lagamre, because you can say maybe you knew about it. There are different ways, and we'll get to different ways to interpret, like Tzvi is saying. But at least the Magen Avraham interprets the Torah, which I think is the Kepashtus, that you're going to violate even if you don't find it because you don't know about it at all. So Ad Kan is the first, well, the objective approach. Okay. So now, let's go on to the second general approach, which says, very important idea, we have tons of ramifications, this is the subjective approach, which says that no, the Isurim of Baal Yerabai Matzah are only violated if the person has a certain relationship with the chametz. And as we pointed out before, a number of different versions of this approach. So the first version, we'll call it 2A, is that, again, it's subjective. You need to have a certain relationship. But the particular relationship that you need to have, if you see from the Mar Mekomos, it's pretty clear, it's a yachas shel re'iya, a relationship of seeing it. And we're going to see now that there are a total of 4 different rashis, the pashas of which all seem to imply that you do not violate Baal Yerabai Matzah until the person sees the chametz. So right now we're going to go through 4 different rashis in different parts of the Masechta and one outside the Masechta, which all seem to formulate the violation of Baal Yerabai Matzah all in terms of re'iyah, in terms of seeing the chametz itself. So the first rashi, and again, I understand some of you guys didn't, most of you haven't seen this, so again, we'll do it together, and you guys will see it later. So if everyone can turn to the Vav Amud Aleph, this is the first Rashi, which the largest number of Achronim quote. So just to do, I had you see more of the Gemara, but just for the purposes of understanding this Rashi, let's just see the line. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. Those Rebbeim you have, who have just somehow like just do it right away. I can't do that. Right? So 9, anyone had like Gershon Kramer in hell, he just like has this knack for. But if you count, 9 lines up from the bottom of Vavim and Aleph. It says Amrle Rava. You guys all see it? We'll just like read one line here and then see the very important Rashi on it. Let's get Yoni, what do you mind?
Sure.
See Amrle Rava?
Yeah.
9 lines up.
Amrle Rava?
Yeah. Sorry, back up. The context, I should have said this before. The context is the case of Yotzei B'Sheyara. It's a case where someone is, you know, leaving town, right? Leaving overseas, leaving his house, way before Pesach. And the question is, if he's leaving before Pesach, is, right, generally the Chovas Bedika is Leil Yudalid, right? The night of Erev Pesach. The question is, this guy is leaving way before Leil Yudalid. The question is, does he have a Chovas Bedika before he skips out of town? So there are a lot of different shitos here. You'll see inside, but just for the purposes of the Rashi, let's just see Amar Rava one more time. Take two. The Edai to Lachzer. Sorry, I'm assuming a lot. If the guy plans on returning to his house during Pesach, that's Edai to Lachzer, Afilu mi Rosh Hashanah Nami. Even if the guy leaves on the trip, Rosh Hashanah time. Basically, it's a way of saying, doesn't matter how early you leave, if you plan on returning to your house on Pesach, you're going to have to do Bedika before you leave. Because the idea is that you're going to come back to your house and then you're going to be over by Rabbi Matzah. So if you're going to be over by Rabbi Matzah because you're going to return to your house on Pesach, therefore you need to do a Bedika beforehand. But it's very important, the Rashi, 4 lines from the bottom, the way he formulates the violation of by Rabbi Matzah. Dov, would you mind? No? Yes? Mr. Michaels? Benjamin? See, Dio Masla, Afilu mi Rosh Hashanah Nami? See, Rashi, 4 lines up. All the way in the bottom. Right, exactly. So it's right. The chihadr baby mea pesach, because if the guy returns to his house on Pesach, he's going to violate by Rabbi Matzah. Again, so far Rashi doesn't explain, doesn't really tip his hand at all in terms of what are the ingredients needed to violate. But let's go weiter. Right, and don't say, Rashi's saying, don't say just do bitum right when you come back, because the sender read the Gemara in Vavim Beis, right, after Zman Yisuro, you can no longer do bitum because the Chametz already Asur Bahana. Right, as he explained, Shari Isur Hanahu, because the Chametz already Asur Bahana. But in a Shalom, he doesn't own it. Now is the key. Oh, very important, Rashi. This is the first of many Rashis, which is Ukisheru'u over Allah. Rashi, when he's formulating when Baal Yerah Baal Yematzah is going to be violated, he says, when you see it, then you're going to violate Baal Yerah Baal Yematzah. So this is the first Rashi, which is very clear, seems to imply that you violate Baal Yerah Baal Yematzah when you see the Chametz. So this Rashi is quoted by a number of, later Mefarshim, we'll go through a number of them right now, who basically point out that the pashas of this Rashi is that you only violate Baal Yerah Baal Yematzah when you see it. Yeah.
I mean, in Rashi, I guess in general, when they say Baal Yerah, do they mean literally seeing, or one of your 5 senses picks up chametz? Would a blind person have a problem?
You're saying according to Rashi, who says the koveh is re'iyah? That's what you're asking?
That's but also a fundamental, just to understand it.
No, yeah. That's a good question. I mean, again, if you held like the Rush, the Shiltus, and the Tour, it's not a kasha.
Right.
Because objectively, as long as it's in your Rishus. And again, if you hold like other Mefarshim, then it's about Yediyah, it's also not a kasha. So your kasha specifically within the Re'iyah, called like 2a, right? That the Koveh is seeing it, so you're saying, let's say the guy's blind. That's a good question. Good question. I'm not sure.
Isn't it just a literal interpretation of the Pasuk?
Yeah, but if the guy can't see, so could they, you won't violate. It could be an economy that you won't violate. I don't know. It would be interesting for, like, Good question. Interesting.
That's where you can call it.
What?
That's where you can call it from by your motto. It's like find something and I should be able to see it.
Okay, good. Good. So we're going to get back to the question about. So far, everything we're saying, we're assuming that Bal Yira and Bal Yamatzeh are equated. We're going to see certain Mefarshim, exactly that Shmuel, right? Who say like Shmuel, who are going to be Mechalik between Bal Yira and Bal Yamatzeh. But there are very few Mefarshim who are explicitly Mechalik, unless, you know, otherwise noted, we assume that they're the same. They go together. But we're going to get back to that issue. That's like section A on the second page. We'll get back to that. Yeah, what's your name?
Yaakov.
Yaakov.
Yaakov. Potentially answer Daniel's question. Yeah. You were saying that the Achronim who interpret the Rosh hold that that Yidiyah is really just like a subcategory of Yidiyah.
Correct.
And therefore, any of the five senses.
No, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That's what I was saying before. The only time it's a Shiloh within Rashi. Within Rashi. If you assume that Rashi is Riyah Mamish, meaning that, and we'll see according to some that they're going to interpret Rashi as saying even if you know about it. As long as you don't see it, you don't violate. So the question is, if the guy's blind, he's never going to see it. Perhaps he's not going to. Right? It's only quite, you're right. If you think that Yediyah is really the Koveya, so then it's not a Shaila at all.
Rabbi said we don't see anything from the first few words in Rashi to Hee, Hadar, Bnei, Pesach, Avar, Alei. But don't we see that? I mean, we obviously see that there's some subjective interaction from the first.
Correct, but I'm saying you don't know necessarily about Yediyah right. Versus Riyah. That's all I'm saying. 100%. Okay, good. So that's the first Rashi on the list. Again, just to cite a number of Mefarshim who quote this Rashi as implying Re'iyah, is number one is Ha'amek She'ela. If you recall, that same Ha'amek She'ela we were discussing before, Oz Dalet, at the end of it, he cites Rashi and says, oh, it seems very clear from Rashi, Vavu Min Aleph, that Re'iyah is Koveya. I'll get the Lashon right over here. He says, of all Rashi daf vav, dira matzchal afilo mi Rosh Hashanah nami, exactly what he said, right? Seeing, right, he concludes the Rashi by saying, ukishiru'u over alav. Mashma, says the Netziv, duri'iyah mamish bi'inan. Right, so the Netziv says, it seems to be very clear from this Rashi, that you actually need to see it, or else you're not going to violate. So again, the first Achron, first Mefarish, who interprets this Rashi as being as you know, it was Midayak in this Rashi is saying you actually need Riyah, is the Netziv in that Ha'amek She'ela. Again, that's, yeah.
In the same Ha'amek She'ela, he assumes that the finding in the Gemara is Yediyah, but
yeah.
Rashi's Yediyah.
Because also the Lashonos, that's what I was sort of arguing with Yehuda before. There are different Lashonos. Finding is to know, right? Meaning, if you didn't know something is somewhere, right? If you didn't know that something exists in your Rishus, so when do you have Yediyah? When you find it. Mm-hmm. So the way you would describe the idea, the newfound idea would be, you know, mitziah. But Rashi, I think even the Netziv admits, like, you know, if he says ukisharu, sounds like it's dafka re'iyah. So even the Netziv, who seems to be noted towards yediyah generally, says, you know, in Echanami, Rashi seems to be taking the re'iyah approach. Yeah.
Sorry, I just didn't understand your answer to Yaakov's question.
Basically, there's a difference between the lashon of mitziah and re'iyah. I mean, the Lashon of Mitzia means to find. And if you're a Yediyah person, you're basically going to interpret the Lashon of Mitzia as that's the time that you now know about the Chametz. When you find the Chametz, you now have Yediyah that it exists. But Rashi doesn't say, oh, you're going to find it. He says, ukishiru'u. Sounds like it's dafka when you see it. That's what triggers the violation of Bal Yira Matzeh. Here? Okay. So again, so the first, no, Achron, right, who interprets this Rashi, is Medayik from this Rashi, that it's Re'iyah, is the Minitziv. The second Achron, if everyone can turn to the Chachma Shlomo, the Marshal, it's against the Marshal and the Marsha on this Rashi. So again, Vav Amar Aleph. It's going to be a very important back and forth between the Chachma Shlomo, the Marshal, and the Marsha. Especially, you'll see this inside, especially if you guys haven't seen it. Did everyone see the Chachma Shlomo? Wait, there's a gold one. Around the bottom.
On what that?
On Vav Amar Aleph. It's on Rashi. It's on, you know, our Rashi. Rashi Dira Masel Daito Lachzer. Let's get someone else. Yair, would you mind reading for us? Do you have it?
Yeah.
You see Nimtza, just at the Dira Masel says Nun Beis, which just means Nimtza Bitzido, which means like found in the side. Generally, these were written like in the margins of the Gemara. So Nimsa Betzida, right, the following comment is found in the side of Rashi. Yeah. Sorry, does everyone have it? Again, this is the bottom of the Marsha is the Marshal entitled Chachma Shlomo. So again, this is Vav Amud Aleph. It's right, Rashi B'dzir Masla Daito Lachzer. Again, this is where the Chachma Shlomo and the Marsha are commenting on the Rashi that we just read. Stop there. That's very important. Is it yeah, Arata, yeah? So, just, right, very important. Right, Mashma da Alma Shematza, right, on that which you find, ino over a love, you don't violate, Kolzman Shlora Osa, as long as you don't see it, Arata, until now, Afilo Bitzlo, right? Even if you didn't do Bitzlo, says the Marashal B'Shem Rashi, it sounds like, right, the simple implication of Rashi is that, yeah, Ukishiru'u over a love, you only violate once you see it. So the Marshal, this is very important, admits that the simple interpretation of Rashi is that Re'iyah is Koveya. Right? You're not going to violate until you see it. But then, in line with what we were saying before, the Chachma Shlomo says, impossible. It just doesn't make any sense. So continue on. Right, what's the Devar Tema? Who? Right, it's a wonder. It's a crazy Shito. What does that even mean? Because Nihi... Right, he's saying even though you didn't have the ability, right? He's saying when you're on your cruise, right? You're out of your house. So, granted, at that point you don't have the yecholas, you don't have the potential to burn it, but still, mikomakum chametz shelo bepisu, you still have chametz in your house, and therefore you're going to violate bayor bayamatzeh as long as you didn't do bittul. So basically, the Marashal is, he says, I know Rashi sounds like Re'iyah is Koveya, but it just doesn't make any sense. It just, Misvara, says the Marashal, I can't, you know, wrap my head around it. It doesn't make sense to say such a thing. So therefore, Marashal is going to make a very important Ukimta in Rashi. Continue, one more line. Stop there. So what does he say to Pshan Rashi is? Right, it appears to me that Demairi, that Rashi is dealing with a case. This is in Ukimto. What is it? Besafik shelo yada bevadai sheyish lo chametz bepesa. What does that mean? Right, he doesn't have yedia. So in the Chachma Shlomo basically says, I know that Rashi sounds like Re'iyah's Koveya, but it can't be. And therefore, it must be Pshan Rashi, like I was saying before. He reinterprets Rashi saying, it must be that the Koveya is Yediya. We'll get back to this later. And it must be the Rashi, the reason why Rashi says you don't violate until you come home is because you didn't know that there was chametz. But says the Marshal, if you knew that there was chametz in your house, just because you don't see it, that's not going to prevent you from violating. So important to note, that the Chachma Shlomo, like the Nitziv, agrees that the simple Pshat in Rashi seems to be the Re'iyah is Koveya. But it's important to note, while the Chachma Shlomo admits that that's a simple interpretation, he says, lo yitachin, it's impossible, and therefore he reinterprets Rashi. So again, at the end of the day, the Marshal doesn't interpret Rashi along the lines of Re'iyah being Koveya, because he doesn't think that's possible, but he admits that that's the Pashas of Rashi.
Is he going to explain why Rashi doesn't spell that out?
No. Okay. Yeah, it's like Badata, in a sense. It's basically saying it's an Ukimta. But then comes along the Marsha and says, well, you're butchering Rashi. That's not what Rashi says. So look at the Marsha back on top. You see it says, Dira Maskel Bipirish Rashi. I feel like I have a different version. But anyone see Bipirish Rashi? Yeah, exactly. Dira Maskel Daito Lachser. A couple lines down from there, I think, it says Veli Nira. Anyone have it?
It's on the top line, those
Vahadar. Okay, top line, those Vahadar. Let's get someone else to read, remind me your name again?
Yitzi.
Reminds? Do you have it? See Veli Nira?
Veli Nira Devarai Ali Apishlo Vadai Chametz Beso.
Oh. Right, so he's saying, what's Pshan Rashi? Veli Nira Devarai Ari Af Bishishlo Vadai Chametz Beso. So what is he saying?
That, you know, it seems to me that it's when he's. It's talking about a case where he certainly has chametz.
Exactly. Marshal says, like, what are you talking about, Marshal? Rashi sounds like it's saying, even if you know for sure there's chametz in your rishus, you're still Rashi means what he says when he says you're not going to violate until you see it. Va'afilu hachi, continue.
Va'afilu hachi, she'in da'atu lachzor, en ta'afilu chubar. Even though he...
Right, even though you know for sure you have chametz in your rishus, if you don't plan on returning, you don't have to, you know, do bedika.
De'asahu k'nifla alav v'fulas.
Ma'poas. It's as if the case where there's like a mound of rubble on top of the chametz. Another case where you don't see the chametz. So basically, says the Marsha, again, it's a big question how you interpret that case, but in short, the Marsha is saying, Rashi means what he says. Rashi says, uksharu'u overlav, that you only violate when you see it, even in a case where there is yediyah, you know that there's chametz in your rishus, still, as long as you're away from your house and you don't see it, it's inaccessible, you're not going to violate Arubai Matzah. So in short, you have the Netziv and the Marsha both interpreting Rashi Kapashis, that you know you're not going to violate until you have a Re'iyah. The Marshal, the Chachma Shlomo, started off by saying that Kapashis of Rashi, but then you know veered off by saying by Lav Dafka in Rashi. But again, that's all within this first Rashi on Vavam Aleph. So again, for our purposes, again, although the Marshal Lav Dafka's Rashi, we're going to go with the Pashas of Rashi as pointed out by the Netziv and the Marshal. That seems in the Pashas of Rashi that yeah, the Re'iyah is Koveya. You're not going to violate until you see it.
According to Marsha, he needs to be a battle of them.
Oh, so that is a bittel derabana. He's quoting. There's the sugyan lam and alafam base as you be battle midrabana. But midrabai, so you're not going to be over. Okay, that's Rashi number one. Okay, we're gonna end in like 3 minutes. Let's just try to get a couple of more Rashis in. If you just turn to Rashi and Chof Aleph on the base, I'm going to try to get the air conditioner working next time. The whole point of being in here was the AC. So we'll just try to, you know, fight through it, and then we'll get the AC working. It'll be a more gishmak. So if you turn to Chof Aleph on the base, a very important Gemara, which we're going to get to, repeatedly come back to. Again, I understand you guys didn't do it. We'll just do it really quickly to get a sense of important Rashi. Again, right now we're trying to prove from all these different Rashis that Rashi each time seems to formulate the violation of Arubai Matzah in terms of Re'iyah, again along the lines of this called approach 2A, that it's a subjective of the Re'iyah variety. So let's start off with the first line in the Mishnah. Aryeh, would you mind? You'd rather not? Okay. The Mishnah Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Sorry. Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. I apologize. There's the first line of the Mishnah of Kol Shah. This is the first Mishnah of the second barrier. Oh, Sender, and you guys learned this so this past year, so please take it away.
Kol Shah Shabbat Lachol, Achel Lebehema Lachai Lovus.
So what does that mean?
Time on Erev Pesach, where you're when it comes to that you're allowed to eat chametz. On Erev Pesach, you're allowed to feed to your Behema, Chaya, and Lovus.
So for our purposes, we're going to jump down to the bottom Gemara. The Gemara is trying to understand, you know, why does the Gemara have to repeat that it's mutter to give it in front of a behema and to a chaya and to ophels? I mean, we get the point. You're allowed to feed it to animals. Why do you have to differentiate all the different classifications of animals? So if you jump down to the Gemara, 2, 4, 6, 8, what? Not 8. You did it? So you do 9 lines up. The Gemara is a very important, you know, it's one of these trichusas. We're going to do only one side of the trichusa, which says, v'itana chaya. You don't see that? It's like 9 lines up. Levi, right? We might take it away. V'itanachaya. Can everyone have it? Right, there's again the Trichusa. The Gemara is making, you know, Trichusa as the Gemara generally does. Why it has to say both cases? Because it's a Chiddush in each. See, V'itanachaya? 9 lines up. You don't see it?
I see it. I just don't know if we got it here. So.
Yeah, we did.
Then just go for it. I'll help you out. I understand that, you know, you guys didn't see it. So just work it out together.
Right. So if the Mishnah, I guess, just
right, if the Mishnah only said that you can feed chametz to a chaya,
mitzvah. So
what's that mean? You would have thought that maybe it's only mutter to give chametz to a chaya. Why?
Because I guess maybe like they won't hide it. And
no, they
it back,
or, will hide it.
Or they will hide it and.
Because they will hide it on the...
It, yeah.
Okay, good. Exactly, that's the Pashas, right? The Gemara seems to be saying that a tzad heter here, that there's a heter to give a chometz to a chaya, because, don't worry, it'll just bury it underground. Right, what is burying doing? It prevents you from seeing it. So look at Rashi, Dear Maskel V'i Tanachaya. Again, four lines from the bottom. Daniel, would you mind taking it away? Right, so Rashi is explaining the Tzad Avinu. So what's the impact of it being buried underground and therefore not seeing it? Why does it matter whether you see it or not? You could have said maybe it's B'Lasa V'Chashash Achila. Maybe you could have said that. But how does Rashi interpret it?
You won't see it, so you won't be over on Balyar.
Oh. So Rashi again, Lashitaso says that the Tzad Heter of the Chaya burying the Chametz underground so that you don't see it, is that prevents the violation of Bayra. Again, the second Rashi, which seems to be saying that you're not going to violate Bayra Bayamatze as long as you don't see it. And therefore Rashi says, yeah. When the Gemara says, oh, it's better because it's going to hide it, he says, yeah, that's going to circumvent, that's going to undermine Bayra Bayamatze. Because, again, Rashi Lishitasa holds that Ri'iyah is Koveh. Yaakov? Is that a hint?
I was thinking, it could be that if you use the wild animal and they go and hide it, at least you still have the idea.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Is it machruk to say that it's seeing? I mean, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll think that it finished the portion.
Okay, good.
And then
I was expecting that question. So the line before, it contrasts the kametsna'ala with Chazile. See, if you go a couple lines up, we read V'itana. I'm sort of, trying to do a shortcut here. See Tzricha, a couple lines up from there?
Tzricha.
Back in the Gemara, Tzricha says
D. Oh, back in the Gemara.
Yeah, sorry, back in the, if you go
fine,
back in the Gemara.
Tzricha, fine.
Yeah. Tzricha is the other way. D'itana behema, if it only said the case of behema, because D'i mishaira Chazile. If it leaves it out, then you would see it. And we're not going to get into right now why that's a tzad heter. My point is, you see clearly from the line before, from the Gemara, that the opposite of mitzna'ala, of hiding it, is chazile, is seeing it. So in context of that, when Rashi interprets, he says, oh, in the case of a mitzna'ala, you're not going to violate Bayar Bayamatze, it sounds like because you're not going to see it, if you put it all together. You hear what I'm saying, Yehuda?
Yeah.
So basically, in context, in the broader context of the Gemara, I was doing a little shortcut, I appreciate you calling me out. If you, in the context of the Gemara, Mitzna'Allah, it sounds like you're preventing Ri'iyah. And therefore, when Rashi says, oh, once it's being hidden, you don't see it, you're not going to violate Bayar Bay Matzeh. Again, Rashi Lishitaso sounds like you don't violate Bayar Bay Matzeh until you see it. Yeah, you know?
Maybe it's contrasting the snow with Kazi, I mean, because no, it means that I'll hide it and you won't even notice that it's there.
But the contrast was Chazile before. Chazile is to see it.
But it could be...
Are you saying seeing and therefore knowing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Could be. Could be. There are two Marashis. I think we're going to hold off and we'll finish tomorrow. So I guess we'll stop here and I'll take any questions. Again, remember, Cohen's Musser is starting very soon. So again, we always want to stop in time for that. I'll take any questions if anyone has.
According to Rashi, before you have to explain the first time that all the